Blog Talk Radio.
God happened. Yo, PDA, I need you to flip this. Come on.
I can see it now. My life was breaking down. I'm lost and so ungrateful, and I'm faithful soul. Hurt so many friends, and now the pain won't end. And I'm so glad that grace and favor win. I made you grieve and made you weep. Woe is me, I've strayed from thee. Restore me back to the place, oh God. There's nobody like you. I found out people will leave you out to die. And not even care that they made you cry. And the more you try to make it right, hold on.
Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, founder, owner, and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network, and this is Taking It to the Streets for this Monday, August 16th, 2021. And as always, we begin every program with a word of prayer, so won't you bow your heart with me as I go to the Lord. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come now before your throne of grace, just asking that you remove me from self and step into this willing vessel of clay and teach your children about you. Lord, use this teaching to edify your saints. And Lord, I pray that if someone doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, that tonight they will hear something that will cause them to want to give their lives over to you. I pray this and all other things in Jesus' name. Amen, and to God be the glory. I want to say good evening to everyone. Good evening. I'm so glad that you're here on tonight. I want to say good evening to members of the Spirit Alive family. I see Mother Mitchell is in the house, so I just want to say God bless you. Thank you for being here. Hallelujah. Well, saints of God, tonight I want to talk to you about betrayal and broken trust within the body of Christ. Because it seems to me that many have forgotten that walking in integrity is a godly principle. Proverbs 11:3 tells us that the integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. So how should we as Christians respond to betrayal and broken trust? Now, the definition of betrayal is an abandonment or a violation of trust by someone close to you, such as a husband betrayed by his wife or vice versa. An employee passed over for a promotion by an employer who had already promised it to them. A secret between friends brought to the light for everyone to see. A promise made to a child that can be so easily broken by a parent. How do we deal with that inevitable betrayal that will affect us in our everyday lives? I've been rejected and abandoned by someone very close to me, someone I trusted with secrets, struggles, and victories in life. And the pain of that betrayal was intense. And I really wanted to understand it, and I long for others to understand it. But the expectation in the Christian community made the betrayal even more unbearable. In a much more intense way, Jesus was betrayed by Judas Iscariot into the hands of the Jewish religious leaders. Now, the mental anguish caused by the betrayal of Judas, one of Jesus' disciples and closest friends, is an often overlooked aspect of Jesus' suffering. He had invested in Judas. He loved Judas. He cared intensely for Judas. He was discouraged. He was hurt. He felt pain, and he wept. In the very same way that we respond to moments of betrayal. Now, the preliminary stages of Judas's betrayal are recorded in Matthew chapter 26, verses 14 through 16. And several questions come to mind, particularly as Judas's actions fulfilled prophecy. Can Judas be held responsible for betraying Jesus when he was fulfilling prophecy? Did Judas become disillusioned with Jesus' messages and life because Jesus didn't fit Judas's paradigm? But the question I asked myself in the wake of it was, what internal anguish did Jesus feel grappling with the reality that Judas had sold him out? Now, we often respond to abandonment or betrayal in anger by dwelling on the circumstances, and we often seek to get even or make our betrayers suffer intensely for how they've wronged us. But through Jesus' example, we see a proper model of how to handle betrayal. We read in Hebrews that Jesus understands all that we encounter and are tempted with, yet did not sin in his own temptations. He pressed on to the task that he was called to do by his heavenly Father. Though Jesus' internal struggle with Judas' betrayal is not recorded, we can assume that it was difficult for him emotionally. We know that he instructed Judas to do what he'd set his mind to. He didn't stop him or throw a fit. We also know that Jesus responded to Judas graciously. Jesus could never be accused of being a pushover. But he framed his response to Judas's betrayal with kindness and graciousness. If we have been betrayed by someone close to us, and eventually we all will if we haven't been already, our first response should be to cry out to Jesus, who loves us and pursues us and intimately understands the reality of betrayal. Now, there are three steps that can help us navigate our way through the terrible pain of betrayal. First of all, we have to acknowledge our feelings. When betrayed, it is normal to feel and express a range of emotions such as denial, anger, sadness, fear, and hopelessness. These emotions may come in overwhelming waves, but with God's help, we can make progress toward wholeness. Now notice, I'm going to read those again. Denial, anger, sadness, fear, and hopelessness. Are you feeling that way right now? Then please go to the Lord and ask him to help you to make progress toward your wholeness. Now, unhealthy responses to betrayal such as substance abuse, violence, and rage will only complicate our lives and delay our recovery. But healthy responses to the pain of betrayal include praying and reading God's holy word, talking with a truly trusted friend. Sometimes we may need to meet with a counselor. Other times it helps to just simply journal our feelings. And then sometimes what we really need to do is just back up and take care of ourselves. Do things that are good for us, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. We have to exercise self-care. And then we have to have faith that God has a plan. You see, Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. They threw him into a pit and then sold him into slavery. He was also falsely accused by the Egyptian slave master's wife and thrown into prison. However, God was with Joseph in prison, and God blessed him. And after Joseph's release from prison, he became the top leader in Egypt next to the Pharaoh and was able to keep his family alive during a severe famine. Joseph said to his brothers, "And you intended evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to make it as it is this day, to keep a great many people alive," as recorded in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Christians we have God's promise, the promise of Romans 8 and 28, which says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." So we, like Joseph, can rest assured that God is working a plan for good even in the midst of that sinful betrayal. Next, we have to forgive and learn to trust again, especially if that trust has been earned. Now, during a betrayal, forgiveness may be unimaginable. We may feel like forgiveness would mean letting the person get away with their disloyal actions. But consider the consequences of holding in such damaging emotions such as anger, fear, resentment, or bitterness. Medical doctors tell us that these emotions can result in cancer, depression, high blood pressure, weight gain. But forgiveness sets us free, saints. According to Mark 11:25, our forgiveness of another's betrayal is a requirement for us to receive God's forgiveness. Jesus said, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." We have all fallen short of God's perfect standard in sin. If anyone has a right to hold a grudge, it would definitely be God. Yet he forgives us through Jesus, and he expects us to do the same for our own good. Now, forgiveness is a decision based on our will and not our feelings. And forgiveness provides an opportunity to rebuild trust as it is earned. In time, we can learn to risk and trust again if trust is earned. Forgiveness is always healthy and required by God, and rebuilding trust depends on the renewed trustworthiness of the betrayer. You see, the pain of betrayal is real. It hurts deeply, and it takes a long time, perhaps even a lifetime, to heal. But harboring bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness in our heart toward our betrayer certainly doesn't make it any easier. If anything, it causes us to continually relive that pain that they put us through over and over and over again. And the answer is not to excuse, justify, or minimize what they've done, but rather call a thing a thing, call sin a sin, and work toward forgiveness. The truth is that someone else's sinful actions towards me pales in comparison to the way I sinned against God, both before and after he saved me and made me his own. And yet, God loves to forgive me. And when we remember that we've been forgiven the insurmountable debt we owe God, it puts into perspective how minuscule the debt is that we're owed by the one who betrayed us. And by God's grace, it allows us to begin moving towards forgiveness. We should give forgiveness freely and generously. Give renewed trust as it is earned, for trust is essential. According to one researcher, trust is the cornerstone of every relationship. But how do we become trustworthy? And how do we regain trust in someone when they've done something to betray our trust? Now, as essential as trust is for healthy relationships, trust is also very tricky. Now, in my counseling training, I was taught trust is the result of trustworthy actions. This is a handy description, but it needs some nuance to be effective. The obvious question is, what are trustworthy actions? And the answers may seem easy at first blush, but relationships of any length quickly reveal that what one person conceives as trustworthy activity often goes unnoticed or unappreciated by the other. Now, John Gottman, a professor emeritus at the University of Washington, has done quite a bit of clinical research on the topic. Now, according to Dr. Gottman, trust is built when we observe actions that let us know another person is for us, even when it costs them. Notice the two components to that description. One person doing, the other person recognizing. Both are equally necessary to build or rebuild trust. Conversely, when they are lacking, mistrust begins to build. We can outline the process of building trust in four steps. One, admit and repent. Two, define and exhibit trustworthy actions. Three, recognize and encourage trustworthy actions. And last but not least, we have to trust in God. Amen. Now let's do a trust recovery. Let's take an example. A wife discovers that her husband is using pornography. She is understandably devastated and now mistrusts her husband's every technological activity. How does the couple move forward and regain trust? Well, first, the husband must admit and repent. Trust cannot even begin to be restored if the wife doesn't have a sense that her husband understands the pain that he has caused her. Admitting and repenting is in and of itself a process, and one that should not be short on sorrow, shame, tears, or apologizing. Hallelujah. But let's assume the husband has taken those steps, and now he genuinely wants to repair the massive trust wounds he has created. The couple must work to define actions that demonstrate to his wife that he is willing to sacrifice for her benefit, especially in the area of technology usage. For instance, he may need to give her complete access to all of his devices to be checked at her will. Or she may want to put a tracker on his smartphone to make sure he's not using it inappropriately. Or she may want her husband to have an accountability partner to whom she herself can talk in order to make sure that her husband is following through. Now, these steps might hurt the husband's dignity, but they may be necessary to help the wife to begin to rebuild trust. Both husband and wife must define what behaviors are trustworthy in the aftermath of the husband's pornography usage. At the same time, though, the wife needs to recognize the steps her husband is taking. She should openly appreciate and encourage her husband. If she takes the husband's steps of sacrifice for granted, mistrust and resentment will begin to build within him. Of course, even if the wife doesn't respond well, that is still no excuse for the husband to continue to sin. The husband has a clear mandate from God about how he must treat his wife, and that holds true regardless of her response. Nonetheless, the probability of trust being rebuilt is so much higher if one partner intentionally recognizes the efforts of the other. Trust increases when both people are willing to push themselves, while one partner shows that they are willing to take steps to actively rebuild trust. The other partner must also show that they are willing to entrust themselves to their partner. But how can we begin to entrust ourselves to someone who has betrayed us? The answer ultimately is that we start by trusting God. Let me suggest that the definition of trust we've been discussing is rooted not in the writings of the 21st century researcher, but it is in the Word of God. When God himself is the anchor of our trust, we can engage in trust-restoring activity. You see, God is a covenant-keeping God whose promises are faithful and sure. He is utterly and totally reliable, even when his promises seem so far away. We can trust God because he demonstrated his favor for us even when it cost him everything. You see, God stands in need of nothing. He doesn't need us or our worship. He was not short on communion and fellowship, nor was he lacking in glory. He chose to be self-sacrificial in the most painful and demonstrable way possible. Therefore, he, and he alone, is the bedrock of our trust and the object of our highest hope. When the focus of our trust rests primarily on God and God alone,
we can cry out just like Job. Though he slay me, I will hope in him. Hallelujah. Anchor your heart in the unfailing words of a faithful God, and his words will give you the strength to engage in the terrifying activity of entrusting yourself to someone who has betrayed you. When we are called to forgive and be restored, which means making ourselves vulnerable again in some way, only the promises of God's comfort and closeness can, in the end, ease our anxieties and soothe any future pain. Our hope, our trust, and our faith do not find their strength or confidence in the actions of a fellow sinner, but in the steadfast love of a sinless Savior. There and there alone will we find a well of trust that never runs dry and never betrays. Now, here's some things I just want you to remember. We need to realize that some people mislabel themselves. Would you drink a cup of chlorine bleach mislabeled as Kool-Aid? Of course you wouldn't. The distinct odor of chlorine would turn you off. Come on, folks. Anyone can say they're a Christian, but actions speak louder than words. Jesus said to know them by their fruits, what they're producing in their lives. Some people, let's face it, they produce really rotten fruit. Even worse than that, they can produce no longer identifiable stinky fruit. Ooh, that you might see in your fridge. But you see, saints, real Christians produce quality, sweet-smelling fruit in their lives. So what we have to do is separate the copycat from Christ. We can't mix them up. You see, Christ always remains loving, true, and real. You see, when people betray us, the devil wants us to blame God. That way, we'll be destroyed and be no longer a threat to his plan. Just remember that religious people put Jesus to death, but he rose, and he'll help us rise too. He'll help us arise from our headache, our heartache, hallelujah. He'll fill our life up again. Yes, people fail and bail. But Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Place a purpose to your plan, your pain. God won't waste it. He will reward you here and in the hereafter. And he will heal you over time. So, saints of God, when we are betrayed, when we have been faced with broken trust, let's use our pain to reach out to the hurting hearts. You see, God comforts us every time we have trouble. So when others have trouble, we can comfort them with the same comfort that God gives us. Now, I know that righteous indignation is a natural reaction. But the word of God says we must forgive. We've got to let it go. And we've got to let God deal with that. Vengeance is mine, says the Almighty God. You know, I know that some people can make you feel like, you know, you've been dumped like garbage. You've been betrayed. You've been gossiped about. You've been talked about. And it's making you feel like garbage. But you need to stop that because you are a treasure to God. Don't worry about what other people say. And let me tell you another thing. Learn how to tell your own story. Okay? Because see, when you tell your own story, good, bad, and the ugly, you take all the power away from others to tell your business or betray you in the first place. Hallelujah. So learn to turn your pain into power. Don't remain a victim. Turn that into victory. And then you need to memorize scripture detailing God's unfailing love for you, such as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Huh, that was King Jesus. You see, we simply need to accept his healing and not fight it off, you know. We need to make betrayal and broken trust a learning and a leaning experience. We need to learn of and lean on Jesus, not people. You see, our life isn't found in that husband or wife. Our life isn't found in that job. Our life isn't found in that fiance. Life is only found in Jesus. So I came to tell somebody tonight, be sure that you really and truly know him. I'm not talking about just knowing about him, okay? I want you to really and truly know him. Because when you truly know him, hallelujah, if people drop you like a hot potato, you won't care. Because, see, you're going to have a made-up mind and you're going to be determined to do exactly what Jesus has called you to do, even if you have to do it alone. You know? You're not going to worry. You're not going to feel betrayed. Because you know what? You need to learn to love your Judases. I'm here to tell you. Because, see, your Judases can make you stronger. Your Judases, saints of God, can make you actually make you better. Hallelujah. And they may very well be, just like as with Judas Iscariot, they may very well be a part of God's plan for making you stronger, for making you wiser, for making you better. Hallelujah. So we have to learn how to love our Judases, and we have to learn how to overcome mistrust again, and we have to be clear about how we feel. We have to articulate how we feel with love, but then we have to go on and forgive. Forgive, forgive, forgive. If we want to be forgiven by God, we must forgive, just as Jesus forgave Judas, just as Jesus forgave me, just as Jesus has forgiven you, hallelujah, we must forgive. I tell my friends all the time, over 14 years ago, I started the Spirit Alive Network. I started it basically with two other people. And it grew for a while, and people come and people go, and I've been asked, well, what? How do you feel when people leave? I said, I don't feel anything when people leave. You know, God sends people for a reason, for a season. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel anything. Because I know, all I'm concerned about is, did they leave in better shape than when they got there? I don't feel betrayed. I don't feel like I've been taken advantage of. Because, see, if I'm doing what God told me to do, and I'm going to do it regardless, with or without anybody, then they can't take advantage of me. I do what I do freely. So for me, just doing what God expects me to do in advance frees me of that feeling of being betrayed all the time. Frees me of that need to get back and get even. Frees me of that need to make them hurt as much as they've hurt me. I can actually say I can go to God and let it go and forgive them just as Jesus has forgiven me. Amen. Well, thanks to God, that's my lesson for tonight. Hallelujah. I hope you have indeed learned something, because I know I sure enjoy teaching it, because, you know, we just have too many people blowed up in the church, just walking around with their lips poked out, they mad, they offended, you know, they gossiping about one another, and it's just not a good thing. But right now, saints of God, if you are in the studio tonight and you want to get in on this discussion, if you would like to make a comment or ask a question, you may do so by pressing your 1. I will address you, hallelujah, by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. We do have some of our Spirit Alive staff in the house. So if any of the staff would like to speak, please press your 1, and I will come on over to you, praise God. And if you're in the chat rooms and you have a comment or a question, you can ask it now, hallelujah, and I'll be more than happy to assist you. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to go ahead on over here to Mother Mitchell, because I like to give the Spirit Alive staff an opportunity to speak. So, Mother Mitchell, do you have any comments or tonight?
Bless you, Bishop, I do. What a wonderful lesson, and I'm so glad you brought this lesson. And I hope there's another one to follow up showing the difference between forgiving and forgetting, because that's two different things, and a lot of people get those things confused.
That's next week.
Forgiving is not necessarily forgetting, but you must forgive. God demands that we forgive, and that's what we must do. And so many times, you know, our world is so convoluted now with counselors and psychiatrists and psychoanalysts and all of these people that are supposed to have the answer for us. But, you know, early on in my life, I had something really painful happen to me. I never saw a psychiatrist. I never saw an analyst. I'm 76 years old because I went to King Jesus, and he
showed me
everything that I needed to do over and continue with a life that would be a fulfilling life for me. And I thank God for that. So thank you, Bishop. I didn't want to say much. You know, I'm usually not on your program.
That's all right.
But I thank God for this program. It's very worthwhile and very necessary. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, Mother Mitchell. Beautiful comments. Now, Evangelist Michelle, are you in the house with us tonight, darling?
Yes, Bishop, can you hear me?
Yes, darling.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I just want to say I know I got in on the ending part of this, but it's just amazing how God will put the right thing before you right when you need it, because I was just going over this with my sister on last night. People think that because you're a servant leader or you're saved or whatever, that you don't have your challenges with sometimes forgiving people. They automatically think that, or they duped them wrong, but they're a child of God, so they're going to just automatically forgive them. Because I was really, you know, battling with something, you know, like you said, the people hurting you, and it's like, but they keep doing it over and over and over and over, and I know we got to keep turning the other cheek. You know, we have to keep turning the cheek, but sometimes you get tired because we are human. And just God brought this message, and I know it was for me, because I was really battling with that, like, not again. Do I have to forgive them again? They keep doing me the same way. But, yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do have to, no matter how many times. You know, we have to keep forgiving, because, like you say, Heavenly Father, he keep forgiving us, you know, and we're no better than the other person. So I just thank God for you, and I thank God for the message that you brought, because I needed to hear this, and God bless you for bringing this for well.
Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you know, like I said, we have to remember when people hurt us, when they betray us, we have to remember that whatever they did to us, I tell people when they want to whine about their pain, I say, well, okay, I acknowledge your pain, but whatever the pain that we may feel, it is never, ever going to measure up to the pain and the passion that Jesus felt on that cross.
That's right.
Even,
amen.
Especially after he had to watch one of his own, Judas Iscariot, come, and Judas didn't just say, oh, no, there he is. Judas walked up to him, got close to him, and betrayed him with a kiss.
Yes.
Says God, we have to be mindful. Do you hear me? Like I said, we have to be proactive and not put ourselves in harm's way. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have to be careful about who we allow to walk up on us and get close to us. And we just start telling all of our business too. Because, see, everybody that's with you, they're not for you.
Amen.
Okay. So we need to be prayerful in our relationship. We need to give every relationship that we have to the Almighty God.
Amen.
Because that way, when God is, you know, because see, to me, now this is not everybody, this is not in the Bible, but to me, the way I look at it, is each and every relationship I form, I'm forming a covenant with that other person, and then I'm going to bring God into it so that God is not only watching me, them, they're watching me too. He's watching me too.
Yeah.
Making sure that I'm the kind of friend that walks in integrity. Making sure I'm that trustworthy friend that you can rely on and depend on. You know, so I'm going to take, I'm going to call Jesus into every relationship that I have.
Mm-hmm.
So that he can be the mastermind of that relationship. And then I'm going to pray about the people that are around me. I'm going to watch.
Always.
I love to talk, but you know what? Sometimes when I'm talking, I'm also, I never forget to listen. And I'm watching. And even when I'm not talking, I'm listening even harder. So we have to be mindful that everybody that's, like I said, everybody says they're a Christian, they're not a Christian. And if, you know, and everybody that says, you know, oh, and look, here's a real good clue that somebody is about to betray you. Girl, you can tell me.
Yes,
I won't tell nobody. Man, you can tell me. I ain't going to tell nobody. And let me tell you good gossiping people something, you betrayer something. Let me tell you something. See, this is how the devil gets you. The moment, do you hear me? The moment you decide that you're going to tell that secret, that you're going to make that malicious statement, the devil has already picked out the person that's gonna, that he's going to make sure brings it back to the person you just talked about.
Did you
not hear what I said at the beginning of this program in Proverbs? People that walk in integrity, okay? We're supposed to walk in integrity. And when we don't walk in integrity, the Lord said, you will be found out.
That's right.
So these are just some things I want you to remember about betrayal and broken trust. And remember, when we've been betrayed, beloved, I know we want to say, you know what, I'm sick of that person, I hate that person, I don't like that person, but we've got to forgive them. And then we have got to begin to allow them to re-earn our trust. Now, if they don't, you know, if they don't think they've done nothing wrong, and they don't find telling your business is a problem, then, baby, you shake the dust off of your feet and keep it moving.
Yes.
But the Word of God tells each and every one of us, as long, it says, as far as you're concerned, you ain't talking about nobody else. It says, as far as you're concerned, be at peace with all men.
Mm-hmm.
Walk in integrity with all men. Cover. Love covers a multitude of sin. So if we love our brethren as Christ loves us, then we should not be going around uncovering folk unless we're willing to be uncovered ourselves.
That's right.
If I love Minister Tina, I'm not going to be out in the street talking about, well, you know, Minister Tina, I don't know. You know, she says she's a minister. I'm going to call up Evangelist Michelle. Michelle, I don't know about Minister Tina because, you know, I think I saw her coming out of her husband coming out of an adult hotel. So it's her and her husband. They can go where they want to. But what do I look like if I love her? Why would I go tell somebody that when it ain't none of their business? Or why would I go to Mother Mitchell and say, ooh, Mother Mitchell, I heard Evangelist Michelle and Pastor Scott fighting like two dogs. Oh, they were squabbling. It was terrible. If I love my sister Michelle, why would I go tell anybody her and her husband was fighting?
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm trying to make this real plain for some of you because, see, you think, oh, you know, well, everybody's going to, you know, you tell yourself things like, oh, everybody's going to know anyway. I'm not the only one that heard it. You justify why you run and you betray people. But I'm telling you, betrayal is a betrayal. A broken trust is a broken trust.
Yes.
I don't care how small it is. If I want everybody to know my business, check this out. I will go on the 9 a.m., the 12 noon, and the 9 p.m., and the 10 o'clock news and tell everybody. How about that? Okay. If my sister Michelle wanted everybody to know that her and her husband had a knockdown drag out, she will go to the 9 a.m., the 12 noon, the 9 p.m., and the 10 o'clock news and tell everybody. That's how we roll around here.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
We as Christians got to stop running around telling people business and thinking it's all right. We've got to stop doing the same thing to folks over and over and over again and thinking it's all right. All those little flip remarks that you make. All those little backwards compliments that you do. You got to stop it. See, whether you understand it or not, your little remarks is a betrayal of trust.
Yeah.
Because, see, as my brother and sister in Christ, I'm trusting you to love me like I love you. I'm trusting you to love me like Jesus loved me. And I hope you're trusting me to love you like Jesus loves you. So when you do anything that is contrary to that, that is a broken trust. Hallelujah. I see Sister Tina's in the house, like I was talking about her. Now I see she done topped up on her. Hey, good evening, Sister Tina. You have any comments about betrayal or broken trust?
Good evening, my beautiful sister and my beautiful Spirit Life family. I just caught the tail end of what y'all are talking about, so I'm just driving and listening. But yes, betrayal and trust. Oh, that's a huge one. And I love how what you said about, you know, you tell somebody something, be expecting that they're going to repeat it.
Yeah.
Because they don't always have good intentions when you tell them something for whatever reason. They may be envious or jealous or whatever, just want to talk about something other than themselves. So when we do repeat something that maybe we don't want someone else to know, then that's really on us.
Yeah.
Repeat it in the first place.
Amen.
That's all.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's good.
Yes. Yeah. But that's right on, sister, and I really appreciate you bringing that to the forefront, because we all need to hear that and be reminded sometimes that, you know, even though we are Christians, we do get caught up in that trap of other people's stuff, and we allow it in, and even though some may say not to say something, we try not to, but, you know, sometimes we may slip up or whatever.
Yeah.
Amen. That's true. But the main thing that we have to remember when we have been betrayed, or if we have betrayed somebody, is to go to that person, ask for forgiveness, give forgiveness, hallelujah, and then try to rebuild that trust if at all possible. Because we are striving to be more like Jesus every day, and any time that we can just trust God with the situation. We don't have to run about and try to undo any damage that we think they've done or anything. We just have to trust God. Because believe it or not, saints of God, when you just trust God, he does fight your battles.
Yes.
And those people might go around and try to betray your trust and say something bad about you, and the people that they're talking to be like, Oh, no, I know Sister Scott. That's not Sister Scott right there. Oh, no, that's not Mother Mitchell right there. That's not Minister Tina. Now, that may be so-and-so, but that's not Minister Tina. Mm-hmm. When you just trust God and you deal with it with grace, God will do the rest. Hallelujah. This has been Bishop Shalene Cook for Taking It to the Streets. We have been talking about betrayal and broken trust. Hallelujah. I pray that you have heard something on tonight that has truly edified your soul. Hallelujah. And it will help you to live a more abundant life in Christ right now. I pray that you just continue to have a beautiful and blessed week. I want to thank all my Spirit Alive family for being in the house and teaching with me tonight. I love that. And I just want to thank all of you for tuning in. So continue to follow us here at the Spirit Alive Network. Tomorrow, tune in for Tuesday Teaching with Pastor Lester Carver. Hallelujah. For more information about us and our programming, it can be found in the body of every program in our slideshow. So from all of us to all of you, we pray that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. Continue to have a beautiful and blessed week. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night. And God bless you.
Good night.
I love you.
Love you.
God bless you all.
God bless you all.
Love you.